If we don't move or exercise, our muscles, they begin to atrophy. So too, our spiritual lives begin to atrophy when we don't exercise it as well. Let's begin today's broadcast of CNV with this perspective from Mike McIntosh.
Set your mind on the things of the Spirit. If you walk in the flesh or carnally minded, you're going to atrophy. Your prayer life's going to dry up. Your Bible reading's drying up. Your heart for people is drying up. Basically, you've left your first love. You know you have. There's no fire in your heart. You don't have a desire to take the Word of God and parse it out and look at it chapter and verse and say, wow, that applies to my situation right here. Sure does. But remember, if it's the devil, he's condemning. If it's the Lord, he's loving, full of mercy for you and grace.
And I'll stand up and shout.
Continue our study through the book of Romans, chapter 8. Paul the Apostle wrote this book around 57 AD, intended for the Christians in Rome, and then for believers everywhere in all times. After a brief introduction, we found an airtight case of evidence against the human race. Guilty as charged, all humanity in every age was declared to be worthy of only judgment and separation from God. However, into this bleak situation, Paul introduces the mercy and grace of God, and starting in chapter 8, the book takes an entirely different direction. Free from the law, sin, and death in Christ is our title and topic today, and we'll explore that next with Mike. So if you're able, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8 as we study God's Word, chapter and verse.
Well, how do I become spiritual? So I explain that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and whoever believes in Him would never perish, but have everlasting life. He said, well, I want that. So we bowed our heads, we prayed together, and He accepted Jesus. He had a great big smile on His face, and from the balcony comes Greg with this other guy, and he says, Mike, I just led this guy to the Lord. I said, that's fantastic, I just led him to the Lord. And he said, but this guy's got a problem. And I said, what's the problem? And so the guy told me, he's about 25 years old. He said, well, first of all, I accepted Jesus. I guess I'm a Christian, but I'm Jewish and all my family's Jewish. My parents are going to be really mad. Secondly, I got busted for drugs and my parents don't know it yet. They're going to be really mad. And thirdly, the court put me into this rehab, whatever it is thing. My folks don't know it, but they're going to be really mad. I think more about the Jesus thing than anything else. So I'm glad I accepted him because the other two things aren't going to mean anything. So we're leaving the room. Six or eight people were just sitting, you know, medicated and staring. So as we're going out the door, I said, Greg, why don't we tell these people? You take them and I'll take. So he stood here and he told those four and I told these four. And they all bowed their heads. They all prayed with us. So as we opened the door, there was just one thing that we didn't do. There was a big pool table right in the middle of the room. And there was a guy, I'm 6 feet, so he was 6'2". And he was a lot broader than I am. And he had the pool cue stick in his hand like this. I thought he was going to, you know, hit us or something. I said, we better go talk to that guy. We didn't talk to him. So I walked up to him and said, hello, my name's Mike. Hi, my name's Quinn. Quinn, I see you with that stick in your hand. Are you mad? No, I'm wondering what's going on here. And I said, well, you saw us praying with people. Yeah? So what's going on? He said, well, they all accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And we're leaving right now. And I forgot to ask, do you want to accept the Lord? Would you like to meet Jesus right now? And he says, I've always wanted to meet Jesus. He walked over and grabbed Greg Laurie and hugged him and said, Jesus, I'm so happy to meet you. Not quite. Some people set their minds on worldly things. Their coffee table are full of the books and the magazines, all about the things of the world. They're always busy in the world. Got to make more money. As Howard Hughes said, they said, how much money is enough money? one of the richest men in the world at that time, he said, well, just one more dollar. But those who live according to the Holy Spirit, and this could be a brand new day for you, you're going to start thinking, boy, that was kind of fleshly. Your roommates will be honest with you. Your wives will definitely be honest with you, men. That was spiritual. I'm thinking spiritual. That's right. Now you're more aware. Turn to your right. Turn to your left. And when you learn those little things, if you hear him, turn right, turn left. Now to hear with four children and the fifth on the way that we're to move to San Diego and we have no money and we don't have a first and a last, but we know that we're supposed to move everybody here. And God miraculously, as I'm killing time out in Escondido, I just went to look at a house that's overlooking San Pasqual because I'd started a study in Escondido and San Diego, and the Escondido one was growing into a church. And it was a commander retiring in the Navy, and he bought this brand new house. He said, listen, I just need somebody that I could trust, and since you're a minister and I can find out who you are, if you'll just look after my house, I'll just charge you for the utilities, basically. He said, you're kidding me. Brand new on a hill, 2.5 acres, $400 a month? You're kidding me. But it's the Lord. You know when you feel like you've just done something good, something spiritual has happened in your life, and you feel good about it? Well, I did a little spiritual thing. The devil has a way of getting back to you. So I asked a bunch of men if that I can get guys to help me load the truck, get all the children down in Sandy. Could I get these new Christian men that came to the Lord here in San Diego, help me unload the truck? They said, oh yeah. So I had about 6 or 7 men help me unload the truck. Now, Sandy's dad always liked to have wine with dinner, and he'd like to have a cocktail before he goes to bed. So we asked him if, you know, we didn't have a whiskey bottle or vodka bottle in our house. It's embarrassing, but could we put it in a drawer out in the garage somewhere? And then when you come, you can just go get it. But I just don't want it in the house. Don't want somebody to get the wrong idea. So that was the deal. So two men pick up a dresser, and the dresser drawer rolls out. There's 3 bottles of whiskey and vodka rolling there. They all looked at each other. Mike, are you our pastor? Yeah, why? Have you got a problem? No, why? Well, that's quite a bit of liquor right here, isn't it? I said, oh, let me tell you about that. Yeah, we'd like to hear about it, they said. So you set your mind on the things of the flesh. It tells you what is going to happen. To be carnally minded of the flesh is death. Doesn't mean it's going to knock you dead and you're going to be out for the count. But slowly an area of your life gets atrophy. And you are crippled there, emotionally or spiritually. You just can't pray with people, maybe. Your family doesn't pray. Because it's just there's something you just can't let go of. So now it's gone 10, 12 years, and your kids are graduating from elementary school or high school, and you've never, ever prayed with them. There's just something in your life that has got a hold on you that should be gone. It may be that your father or your mother never ever hugged you or put their arms around you or knelt down beside your bed and prayed with you, so it's difficult. It doesn't mean you're bad or wrong or stupid or, you know, you're not spiritual. It just means that when you find atrophy in your life, you need to replace it with spiritual life and not let it control you. So I remember when I first met my daughter that I had in high school, and her girls are very gorgeous. There's 4 of them now, and 2 of them are married. And so I went to see them, and they'd never met me before. I took them each teddy bears and a dozen roses. They were like 3 and 6. So I asked Joy, my daughter, I said, you know, every night I always lay hands on my kids and pray for them. Even if I'm gone, as soon as I come home, I go into their bedroom and lay hands. Do you mind if I pray for them? So Whitney, who just got married this last summer, she's as beautiful as can be, just graduated from Long Beach State. She's very feisty, to say the least, as a little kid and as a big, beautiful blonde. She's feisty. And she's laying there, and I kneel down, and there's a praise song going on next to the bed, and she looked at me and said, "What are you going to do?" And I said, "Well, here, I'll just put my hand on your head. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to bless you." And she looked at me and shoved my hand away and says, "Go to your own house and bless yourself." That's feisty, wouldn't you say? I mean, I never met her before. Well, she wasn't used to this kind of thing. So when there are areas that you just know you're the head of the household, men, you are the head of the household, the Bible says. God designed the man to be the head, not the woman. He designed the man. But women have the ability to do what needs to be done. And if you're a weak man, they will just gravitate to that position. And you're going to have a home that's a little bit out of balance. Because you're not set up the way heaven is. Ephesians 5 lays out the structure for the family. When you find these areas that you know are grating against your heart, and you're not free, call out to the Lord and let that part of your flesh die and let His Holy Spirit come in and make you strong. And He will. He will make you stronger than you can ever believe. He will show you things that eyes have never seen before. He'll show you things that kings and prophets desire to see and to hear. If you seek me, you shall find me. Call upon the Lord while He is near. Draw near to Him and He will draw near to you. He's a real person and He wants you to know how much He loves you. So when you can set your mind that you're going to say in your household, as Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord." That was a decision. He set his mind on the way of the Lord in raising his children, handling his money, helping other people, and fighting the battles of the Lord. Because if you are carnally minded, that's death. But if you're spiritually minded, that's life and peace. So now we see peace comes in. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Those of you in law enforcement and social work, I know you wonder, and what is the matter with people when sex crimes are just so huge in this city? This is a destination city from weirdos from around the country and the world come to here because they know there's a lot of easy prey here. But you go one day on the beach and you see how women are dressed or undressed, and you wonder, don't they get it? There's perverts sitting around here watching them and looking at them. They're taking pictures of them. They don't even know it. Holding their camera there like they're looking at something, but they're clicking pictures. And yet, the kingdom says, women, be holy and be chaste as Sarah was to Abraham, calling him Lord. And don't let it be the outward braiding of the hair and the plaiting of the hair and of the jewelry. But let it be that ornament. Ornament is the word St. Peter used. Of the quiet and the meek spirit, which in the sight of God is valuable. Wow. I don't know if any verses in the Bible where God said, men, if you do this, I count this value. But for him to say, ladies, just be meek and humble and set your mind on spiritual things. Dress modestly. And your attitude and heart will be like an ornament, a very valuable piece of jewelry in the eyes of God. And don't you want to live your life for God? Because want to or not, we're all living it in the eyes of God. But it is time now to live it for God. Carnality is death. Because the carnal mind is at enmity. There's hostility. But it is subject. It's not subject to the law of God. Nor can it be, because it's of this world. So then those who are in the flesh, they just cannot please God. So you may want to do a check of yourself, you know, like a physical exam. Do a spiritual exam. And go to Galatians 5 and look at verse 19, 20, and 21. And notice the plural of the fruits of the flesh and the singular of the fruit of the Spirit. And you can just write that down in a notebook and carry it around and just see, whoops, this is my flesh. You can sit on your desk and have it laying there, and somebody comes in and yells at you, oh, yeah, that's their flesh. I never noticed that. They yell a lot. That's part of their flesh, anger and wrath, bitterness, jealousy, envy, adultery, on and on. And you realize that's just, and what are the TV shows designed to amplify? Everything that is of the flesh. So you live in a hostile planet that has enmity against God, wants a life totally free of God, and the fruit of a worldly, carnal community ends up with everyone dying. But now you have been there, and you've come out, and God's Spirit is changing you. But if you're not reading the Word, you don't know who you really are. So now you know there's no condemnation if you're in Jesus Christ. And now you know that you can set your mind on the things of the world and, well, you'll have it. The devil will bow down to you and give you everything if you'll just be a spy for him and get into the church and mess up other people's lives. Or you can set today, I'm setting my mind on spiritual things. And God, I don't know what to do, but here's how I started. Would you just set me at the feet of a man that'll teach me the Bible? Now, why is that the feet of the Maharishi Mahesh Yoga? I was at the feet of Paramahansa Yogananda. I was at the feet of a bunch of gurus, but they taught me all about themselves and their philosophies. And I ended up at the feet of a man that has taught me nothing but the Bible and let nothing but the Holy Spirit lead and guide my life. He has never once told me what I should do, how I should do it, when I should do it, or where I should do it. The body of Christ is not about famous preachers or a hierarchy or a structure. We're people. And we're struggling. The whole country is struggling. But I believe that you're a special people, because there's no other gathering anywhere that I've ever seen or been of people made up like you. You're a special group of people that God is preparing for a special work. Santos went with me and Philip, and I realized that all of a sudden everybody's getting plaques. But I remember day and night, 24/7, the garbage trucks were at ground zero. And many of those drivers on the trucks carrying out the beams worked 20-hour days, no days off, for months. So we said, let's have the sanitary workers that take all the garbage out to the dump in Jersey, and their wives, and we set up a ballroom at a hotel, and we gave out invitations, and nobody knew who was doing it or why we were doing it. So many people from the church donated money, and we had toys for all their children. They were like 2 feet high along the wall. We had packages for the women and makeup and chocolates, and we had stuff for the men. And they got about a dozen presents, or six or eight at least, each one of them. And Danny Lotz used to play the trumpet, and his dad would stand on the street corners of Manhattan and preach the gospel. And Danny, as a boy, would play the trumpet, and then up would come a crowd, and then his father would preach the gospel. Well, Danny is married to Ann Graham Lotz, Billy Graham's daughter, Ann. And so I asked him, I said, you know, you're an old New York man. Would you come and be our chaplain? And these 1,500 people will be at the Hilton every day in the morning at 7:30. You do our devotion. And it was so great. He's a great Bible teacher. So I'm sitting there and getting ready to speak. And one of the chiefs of the New York Police Department is sitting there, and a council person. And here was like 500 or 600 people in the ballroom, and none of them knew who had put this on. So Governor Pataki sent his number one man, and Mayor Giuliani sent his number one man, and they represented the state and the city, and the state guy presented a plaque to the city guy, and the city guy had a plaque for the state guy, and they're hugging each other and thanking each agency for putting on this free banquet for the wives and the husbands and the children, all these wonderful, and I'm sitting there with Danny saying they have no idea, they've just been evangelized. They were so happy. Set your mind on the things of the Spirit. If you walk in the flesh or carnally minded, you're going to atrophy. Your prayer life's going to dry up. Your Bible reading's drying up. your heart for people is drying up. Basically, you've left your first love. You know you have. There's no fire in your heart. You don't have a desire to take the Word of God and parse it out and look at it chapter and verse and say, wow, that applies to my situation right here. Sure does. But remember, if it's the devil, he's condemning. If it's the Lord, he's loving, full of mercy for you and grace. You're free. You're free. So don't be a prisoner to your flesh. You're free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Shall we stand and shall we pray? Lord, as we prepare our hearts for communion, I pray that for every man and woman in this gymnasium and in the overflow rooms, those that are listening on the radio and watching on the internet, that you would touch them in a very special way, that this day would be the day that they consciously set towards spiritual things. And as they look around their homes or their hearts, their libraries, and they begin seeing so much about this world, and yet they're dwarfed in spiritual intellect about your world, let this be a great liberating week where people see that you're calling them closer to your heart in fellowship. Bless every man here to be a God-fearing man, not to be a godless man. Let them be God-fearing men. Let these men that stand before you not have weak backs and spines, but let them strongly stand up for you and to let the world know that they're your son. And let these men protect the women and children. Let them be godly ambassadors for Jesus Christ in attitude and heart and language and work ethic. Father, have mercy on our country. But we know there are many that are trapped because they don't know and they can't speak out. And we see in these scriptures that it's a matter of setting our minds. And we know that the schools and the entertainment and the financial have set their minds so far to the world that they're now imprisoned by the devil. And there's no way out. There's perplexity. So we pray that you could use us, each one of us standing here right now, that you could use us in a way that would bring love and peace, like you said, and spirituality, not just to San Diego, but to our whole country. Help us set our minds towards the things of heaven, and let us not be settled and accepting the flesh. You have many, many talented women here and talented men. They could just turn their talent towards you and be so fulfilled. Help them. Father, we say thank you for loving us and letting Jesus take the condemnation instead of us and setting us free that we could see there's a spiritual nature and a carnal nature and given us the freedom to choose which nature we are going to exalt. So we're weak by nature, Lord, in the flesh. We ask you to strengthen us now in the Spirit, that you would be glorified by the rest of our lives, by the rest of our days. They would be filled, overflowing with your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
God's love for us is more than anything we can comprehend. But know this. He allowed his son to be beaten and hung on a cross so that the payment for yours and my sins could be paid in full. That's how much he loves us. Be with us for the next broadcast of Chapter and Verse with Mike McIntosh when we'll present the message, As God's Children Live by the Spirit. If you need to make some real steps to ordering your life according to God's principles and giving in to Him, let me suggest that you check in at MikeMacintosh.com and click on the Know God link, where you'll find additional insight and resources there to help you. The address is MikeMacintosh.com and look under Know God. Chapter and Verse is a listener-supported ministry, so if the Lord places it on your heart to help fund this program on your station, please write to us at Chapter and Verse, P.O. Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. Again, it's Chapter and Verse, Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. You can also securely give online at MikeMacintosh.com. Join us next time when we'll continue in the New Testament and the Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans with our teacher, Mike McIntosh. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.